It will be just the same when Jesus returns to the world. He will find the vast majority of mankind utterly unbelieving and unprepared. He will find the bulk of his believing people in a sleepy and indolent state of the soul. Business will be going on in town and country just as it does now. Politics, trade, farming, buying, selling, pleasure seeking will be taking up men's attention just as it does now. Rich men will still be faring sumptuously, and poor men grumbling and complaining. Churches will still be full of divisions, a wrangling about trifles. Theological controversies will still be raging. Ministers will still be calling men to repent. And the vast majority in all congregations will still be putting off the day of decision. In the midst of all of this, the Lord Jesus himself will suddenly appear. At an hour it is not aware of, the startled world will be summoned to break off what it is doing and stand before its rightful king. I wish I could say I wrote those words, but that I'm not that elegant. That is Bishop J.C. Ryle about 150 years ago, reflecting on Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And so, at an hour it is not aware of, the startled world will be summoned to break off what it is doing and stand before its rightful king. And most of the world does not believe this, does not understand this, not even know about this. We're surrounded by people who do not expect this, who are not prepared for this, who are not wishing and wanting and waiting for this. They're not watching for this. They don't really believe that there really is a royal groom, a king, who really has said that he is coming back and that he is going to throw this incredible wedding feast, and that the kingdom of heaven is going to be forever. Every wedding feast that has ever been thrown points to this one. So many do not believe this around us. And some people think maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something to this royal groom, this royal king, this Jesus. But maybe I'll think about that someday. Maybe I'll get a little bit more serious and really look into who Jesus is and what Christians say about him. Maybe someday. And we who have believed, we who are Christians, we can foolishly fall into this lull of this sleepiness of no one else is looking for this. No one else is watching for this or preparing for this. And the enemy can come along and say to us, is there really a king? Is there really a groom? Is he really coming back? And our hearts get distracted. The fire in there can start to feel like it's dimming. And so this passage today, this parable of these 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, and Matthew 24 and 25 all go together. It's Jesus talking, preparing his disciples both for his death, but also beyond that to his coming back, his second coming, the final end of all pain and suffering and sorrow, this return of the king. Whenever we get to these passages about those times, it seems like our natural tendency, Christians or not, is to have a little bit of fear. A little bit of heart starts beating a little bit when you think about that suddenness. That when Jesus says, you do not know the hour. No one knows the hour or the day. But this passage specifically, it just tells us a couple of very quite simple things. The first one, we have this example, this of wisdom and folly, very much in line with the Proverbs. Over and over, the Proverbs do this kind of thing, comparing the foolish way of living versus the wise way of living. And we're just told to be prepared for this glorious day, this wedding celebration. And we see these foolish virgins who, they're supposed to do, this is not a difficult thing, they're just supposed to bring oil that goes with the lamp, that goes with the torch to light the way of the groom. Why would they not do that? It calls them foolish for a reason. This wasn't a hard thing. This was not a difficult thing. Deacon Blake, the youth minister over at Living Faith, a couple of years ago we went to California, and he had this rule that he liked to share with the youth, just one simple rule: don't do dumb things. Pretty pretty good rule. Don't do dumb things. And anytime they started to do something, he'd say, remember, don't do dumb things. If you're bringing your torch, your lamp, if you have a flashlight and you know you need batteries in it, why would you not bring it? This is not a heavy, burdensome thing. Just be ready. The wedding celebration is coming. The royal king is coming back. Be ready. And the second thing that's very clear, very simple here, is to be watchful, to be excited about, desirous of this. This is a glorious thing. This is the song that we sang, rejoice, rejoice. This is great news. This is not something to be afraid of for us who put our trust in Christ. This is good news. We're excited about this. Are the words a little bit scary? Jesus is meaning to, he wants to get our attention here, of course. He wants to wake up all those who are sleeping, who are not prepared, who are not, do not know him, who are not watching or waiting. And he wants to remind us, you know, how that fire can dim as we're dulled and distracted. He's even today, I would say, through this reading, through these words I'm telling you right now, be watchful, be excited, rejoice. We're ready for this coming kingdom and this great wedding feast. Now, there are two fears that I think they're going to strike every single Christian, whether you've been walking with the Lord for a long time or just for a short time. And the first fear is this question: how do I know if I'm prepared? How do I know if I brought enough oil? I don't want to be like these foolish virgins here. I want to be ready. What do I need to do? And, oh, so we see here the checklist starting at verse 30, right? Oh, no, it's not there. Where's the checklist, Jesus? When I go hiking, I have a checklist, the stuff that I need so I can enjoy that hike, especially if it's for multiple days. Where's the hike? Where's the checklist? Jesus does not tell us that here in this parable, that exact checklist. What he tells us, what he gives us, the instruction that he gives, how he tells us to be prepared. We see that in the rest of the Gospel of Matthew. We see that in the rest of the other Gospel accounts, in the rest of the New Testament, in the rest of the Old Testament. All of Scripture gives us the wisdom of how to be prepared. But a couple of things specifically. After Jesus' temptation, it says in Matthew 4 that he goes out preaching to all people, repent. Repent. John 3:16 teaches us that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. On the day of Pentecost, when the people realized who Jesus was and what they had done, their hearts were broken and they cried out to Peter, what do we do? We understand now who Jesus is. We understand that he really is the royal king. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. When you were baptized, we tend to put that seal of oil on there. The oil always so symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We say you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Have you believed that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe that he really came and died for your sins? Do you believe that he really rose? Do you believe that this royal king, this groom, is coming back? You have that oil. You are ready. You don't need to be frightened. You're ready. If you haven't trusted, get ready. Take him seriously. Listen. Ask him who he is. Ask him if he really is the royal king. The Lord will speak to your heart. The second question that can give us fear, even as Christians, how do I know if I'm being watchful enough? It says to be watchful. And every one of you, I know you're just like me, you get distracted. Even from the things that we love the most in this life, that we want to focus all of our attention on, we get distracted so easily. We're weak and our minds wander, and so this fear can come up. The enemy could put that in our heart and say, oh, you're just not watchful enough. You don't really care enough. How do I know if I'm being watchful enough? Married couples that have been married for a long time Everybody knows this. You do not feel that same, your heart is not fluttering and beating with excitement for the next time that you're going to see your spouse. I mean, maybe that does sometime. That's great. But it's not that way all the time. Everybody knows that. You can't sustain that initial falling in love feeling. And the Lord Jesus knows that. He's fully God and fully man. He knows exactly our weaknesses, the way we are. He knows our needs. He knows what it is to love. But married couples have been married for a long time and stuck it out through the fights, through the annoyances. That love gets deeper and stronger and last and last and last. Are you interested today in Christ's return? That's a good start of being watchful. I suspect that you are here today in part because you are excited about Christ's return. Did you wake up this morning and the first thing you said was, "Hey, guess what? Jesus is returning today and I'm so happy." Maybe one or two of you woke up that way. I woke up and I said, "I'm tired." But I am excited. I am excited about Christ's return. I am watchful, and I suspect you are too. Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows that we can't live every moment on edge like that. But if you're praying today, when you pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," if you mean that, you're being watchful. If you have any desire to love God and to love others and act on that, you are being watchful. You're ready for God's kingdom to come, for this groom, the royal king, to return. Jesus is that royal groom. He went to the cross for us. He took on that terrible dark day of the Lord that Amos prophesied about when he went to that cross and died for us and rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again. And when he comes, the wedding feast begins. The eternal kingdom of heaven begins. And then I will not have to tell any of you to rejoice, rejoice. We won't have to sing the song. We will just be doing it. Even the quiet introverts like me, none of you are going to be sitting anymore. We're all going to be either standing or falling down in worship and enjoy in the presence of the King. One more quote from J.C. Ryle. "The door will be shut at last, shut on all pain and sorrow, shut on all on an ill-natured and wicked world, shut on a tempting devil, shut on all doubts and fear, shut to be opened again no more, because the wedding feast will have begun." Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." If you've put your trust in him, if you know the Lord, you will not hear those words, "I don't know you." You will be in the feast, celebrating. And this is the words that you will hear. And I hope this is the word that every one of you hear today when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them from my hand. I know my sheep." So we, his sheep, are watching and ready, longing for his return. And we cry out, we rejoice, and we lift up our voices and say, "Come, Holy One. Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.